Briggs on the piano.
I feel like saying, not only do they stay quiet and pay attention, but they applaud it.
Good morning. Welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. We welcome people from all religious, racial, and ethnic backgrounds and all sexual orientations. We are a lay-led society, and I'm Erin Bosch, the current president. This morning, the chalice will be lighted by Mary Mullen. I'm lighting the chalice, and we're going to ask you to participate because we're going to invoke the five directions, even though it says four directions on your program. And first, face the Metchie's remarks. We will say, she'll say, "Blessed be," and we say, "Blessed be." Then we will turn to the south, which is that way, and so on. Okay. Blessed be. Thank you.
around. It's on page 389. And
that sounded pretty good, but when you're singing, you can't tell. Was anyone just listening? Did we sound okay? Now is the time for any joys and concern we'd like to share with each other. Eileen. Could have done happy birthday in a round. Betty? Are you going to give tours? You know, if we get that phone number and we call up, do we get a tour? Anyone else? Ruth. I have a joy that we are coming up on our fall retreat, and I am helping with staving off Alzheimer's by memorizing some lines, and so is Rick Owens. So, you know, it's worth the price of admission. You need to come to the retreat. Yes. And thank you, Pat, for doing that for us. Anyone else? Mike. A children's story?
stay over here so that my voice carries to other people. This is one of Aesop's fables, the children's, and it's called The Bundle of Sticks. I have a bundle of sticks. And one evening, a father called his children together much the same way that you've been called together, and he said, I'm going to be going on a very long journey. There's something I want you to know, but instead of using words, I want to show you what my message is. So he had this bundle of sticks, and he asked his oldest son to break it in half. And his oldest son said, he tried, and he tried, and he tried again, and he said, Father, I cannot break them. So then he asked his daughter the same thing, to break the bundle of sticks in half. Tried, and said, Father, I'm sorry, I can't break them in half. And then he did the same thing, and he gave the sticks to his youngest son, who again tried and tried and said, Father, I can't break them in half. So then what he did is, he untied the bundle, he gave a stick to each one of his children, and what he asked him then is to break the stick. Ask them to break the stick in half. And of course the sticks broke easily. And so the father said, have I made myself clear? And what the youngest son said, yes, if we stand together like the bundle of sticks, then we will be strong. And then the daughter said, yes, and if we stand together like a bundle of sticks, I mean, if we come apart and we don't stay together, then we can be broken. And what the oldest son said was, in union there is strength. And so what this is to represent is all these sticks would be the members of Prairie. And if everybody in Prairie stands together, it can't be broken. But if we go our own separate ways and don't support each other, we will be. And that's the end.
Transformed with a question mark, and there's more to the title. The title is Becoming More Welcoming to Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, and Transsexual People. And it's a program that's, we hope to give this kind of sort of consciousness-raising program, I would say, at least once a year. We skipped last year for some reason, but there have been some previous lay ministries on gay and lesbian issues which I've taken part in, and the most recent one was in 1996 and 97 when we did the Welcoming Congregation lay ministry. And I had a wonderful committee that worked with me and helped to make all the services interesting, we hope, to you. And I think they were interesting because we had larger attendance as we went on, larger and larger attendance. This last lay ministry was 8 services spread over the year, and it was based on the Welcoming Congregation curriculum put out by the Unitarian Universalist Association. The highlights for me during that time were that panel of high school kids, and you probably, if you were here, remember them, high school kids who came and told us how hard it is to be in high school for the most part. Because as they go through the halls, as one young woman said who goes to Oregon High School, she counted 96 times she heard put-downs of gay and lesbian people just in the halls in one day. And she told us that what she did as a result of that is often she didn't come to school because it was just too hard to do that. And we also had a couple of young women in our congregation at that time who had started the Alliance at Memorial High School and had really done a tremendous amount they had a tremendous amount of courage and energy. And hearing from them at that same time was a wonderful thing. We also had a panel, a highlight of that for me was a panel of gay, lesbian, and bisexual adults that talked a little bit about their lives. And I think maybe for the people, those of us who were on the committee, and I don't know about the kind of the committee, some of our highlight was studying the Bible. And we did present a program on that. The few passages there are in the Bible that the religious right uses to put down gay people and say we ought not to be. We studied different versions of the Bible and read commentaries on it and came to a kind of an interesting understanding of it. And so it was a highlight being in that committee. And we had, I thought, wonderful music as well. I got acquainted with a new group called Venus Envy, I believe it was called. And Nancy Schroffnagel went through all her women's music and found all sorts of wonderful things for us to use. And then finally, to finish it off, we had that eight-program series, we had skits based called Transformations. Some of our people had gone to General Assembly, and that's the next step, trying to see what steps a congregation takes to become truly welcoming to gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transsexual people. And we wrote a bunch of skits to show how people might have conversation in each of those stages. And that's where the title for this service came from, Transformed, with a question mark. How transformed have we become as a congregation because of this? Just a little more history, and then we're going to ask you how this lay ministry and subsequent events might have set with you, and what permanent differences they might have made in how you look at things. Because it's one thing, you know, when you're in the midst of a lay ministry and you're concentrating on it and so on, but how long does it last, or do you continue to grow after it's done? Anyway, we did apply for a welcoming congregation status to the Unitarian Universalist Association in July of 1998, and we have the poster out there in the hall that shows that they granted us that status. We had a fall workshop at our fall retreat in October of 98, and then we did that follow-up service I mentioned called Transformations in December of 98, and that was the last one that we had. So that's a little background on the welcoming congregation in our congregation. I'd like to say that sometimes it takes, I mean, years and years. I looked at the Olympia Washington website on this topic last night because Al Nettleton referred me to it. And in 1990, they started their process, and I think in 2000, they became a welcoming congregation. So we've had lay ministries, and we've taken a while, too, but it's an ongoing process, always. So since Nancy and I planned this, we're not going to have all my voice today. Nancy's going to ask you, I was going to just have you, give you an opportunity to talk about how things are going with you, how this affected you, and what you might be doing now.
Mary and I walked through this a little bit a few nights ago, and the questions that we thought might be of interest to you all would be, how have you been affected by either the original group of several services that we had done on that? I was one of the committee members, along with Mary and several others. And in specific, maybe you could think just for a minute about how your consciousness of gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered folk issues has been, was changed. And is it any different now? How is your comfort level with people that you know or suspect may be of a different sexual orientation than yourself? Has that changed at all? And have you done, perhaps as a result of this, any community action or done any volunteer work that you might not have if you had not been a part of this congregation going through this? I'm going to mention very briefly, Mary mentioned that we did one of the services about the Bible, and we studied some of the passages. So each of us, I think there were five or six of us on the committee, we each assigned ourselves to go and go to the public library and get a different version of the Bible. And I was astounded, as maybe some of the others were, there are two long shelves in the Madison main public library full of Bibles, every one of them different. A different translation, different notations. I couldn't believe that there were that many, and that's just a small fraction, apparently, of what's available nationwide, worldwide. And so we went through them and found, indeed, that one story that we concentrated on, the story of Lot in the city of Gomorrah, and how differently worded each one of these Bibles had that story, and how differently one might interpret it based on which version you were reading. And as a result for myself, I have gone on and done more reading about the Bible. I've bought some books about it. I took a great course this last summer on the Critique of Christianity, which talked about the Bible and other current religious things. So I'm wondering if any of you can talk for a few minutes or a minute or two about any changes that you might have gone through or might have noticed in yourself in the last two or three years as you relate to gay, lesbian people. Yeah, Mitzi. That was the Lavender Rose play that was just on this summer, yeah. And I bet you met a number of people that you might not have otherwise ever run into in your life. Yeah, good. Yeah, Erin.
One of my most memorable moments from that was when we had this panel of people up here, and after a question popped in my head, and afterwards I talked to the bisexual woman, and I said, you know, it just occurred to me, if you want to be in a committed relationship and you're bisexual, you have to pick one or the other. I said, now, does that mean that if you pick the apple, you're always going to want the orange? And she said, well, no, I don't think so. She said, you know, if you pick an apple, there's a lot of other varieties of apples out there. You settled on this one apple, and I thought,
thank you for sharing that. That's great. That's great. I'm going to mention real briefly, by the way, that a couple of people have mentioned to me that I seem very welcoming to gay, lesbian people. And I want to mention that when I was a young child, my parents had these friends that were two gay men. And one of them was a very successful author, and he gave writing classes. And so my mother took writing classes and wrote a book, which never got published. But these two men came to our house frequently for dinner, and we often visited up at their house. And so I grew up with a sense of total comfort with gay and lesbian people. I mean, with a total sense of how much alike we are, and oftentimes the only difference is who they love. And where's the difference there? I mean, somehow, you know, if we want our minds to follow people into their bedrooms, we could do that equally well with our neighbors and everything else, and everybody would be so different from each other. But other than that, there are so few differences in the goals and principles of our lives that it has always struck me as, homophobia has struck me as a very peculiar thing, and I can't understand it. Yeah, Al? You read it all? Thank you. Gotta try them all. Yeah, I agree. Al?
As we've found out and talking to one another, we know that families oftentimes have a lot of different philosophies and problems. So my cousins are very fundamentalist. So that was growing up. There were always the fundamentalist circumstances. So one of these cousins came out.
Eileen, yes.
I would just like to add on, though, in terms of on the personal level, and I'm not so sure that the service made a difference because we've had a lot of friends and family that we've been supportive of throughout the years. But just as another part of the story, Alan Blanch of the family was the one who was comfortable in keeping in touch with his group. Alfred and his partner, and we've been meeting several times with our entourages to the south. And it's been interesting because they have really, we found out how much they appreciated that. And that, you know, their own immediate family had cut them off. And it wasn't until essentially what, 10 years later that Alfred brought his partner to his family meeting. And that was a shocker.
Nancy.
I
Thank you. This will be our last one because you all are going to have more chance to have input a little bit later in our program. Yes, Jolita.
Since I was first a member of this society, and we've done a lot of things since that lay ministry, and on your chair or maybe in your lap by now is an 8.5 by 11 sheet, and on one side it says a prayer litany of welcoming congregation accomplishments, and you can see there are 20 of them there, and they're happening all the time, I think. We're adding to this list all the time. I call it a litany because I'm going to ask us to read it as kind of a responsive reading. One side read number one, the other side read number two, number three, number four. And I think, how about standing up in the litany? And just read the part that's in the bold, the other is just explanation. We'll start over here with number one. The welcoming congregation committee and then periodically monitor progress and make further recommendations. We plan the material of follow-up workshops to the welcoming congregation. We have held special services on gay, lesbian, and bisexual issues on a regular basis. Once we have participated in the Madison's Gay Pride Parade, hearing the prairie's banner. We offered a gay, lesbian guy at the high school you knew who were exploring the peace and justice theme. They chose to explore the topic and were very responsive to the parents' attention. The committee recommended a list of children's books that present gay and lesbian sexual orientation in a positive manner. Already purchased two. The file of curriculum now being used to all our prairie children touches on gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender issues. We provide rental space to begin to read the Unitarian Universalist Organization for gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people and their allies. Prayer members of all sexual orientations, including heterosexual, have participated in the meeting. We provided free practice space to the cast of the lesbian musical, Lavender Rose. The Lavender Rose cast included two prairie members, and several other prairie members volunteered as crew members. Prairie members attended the musical. Prairie is listed in the directory of organizations
Mary wants me to start this, and I'm not quite sure how this is going to go. There was a long list that the committee had prepared at the end of our original lay ministry about welcoming congregation. This long list consisted of things that we wanted to see Prairie do. We've just read aloud about half of them, about half of that list we have done. There were other things on the list that we have not yet done. Many of them very small and seemingly simple things, but we just haven't gotten around to them for one reason or another. So what we thought today is that Mary and I would take turns in getting some suggestions from you all as to how we could implement these, or who would volunteer to do it, or how would it look if we did it, and how might we do it. So the first item on that is... use the words welcoming congregation on the masthead of the Prairie Fire. And I guess, Marilyn, you're printing the...
I guess I would say that, you know, maybe some of these things should be done, maybe they shouldn't be done, or maybe we can talk about how they could be done.
Yeah, we might decide we don't want to do them at this time, and that's a possibility. Would that be something that you all would like to see on the masthead of your newsletter? And if so, Marilyn, would you be willing to do it? But only if everybody agrees that they want it done. Al Nettleton.
Can I give you a credit for it?
Yeah.
This is not a business meeting. We are not making decisions. We're discussing. Is that the case? And I say that for several reasons. One of the discussions we have to have is, are we turning anyone away from the way in which we announce welcoming congregation at the beginning of our service? It's a question we need to discuss. And there are some people I know that prefer not to discuss that publicly. They have strong feelings both directions. There are some people that would say, well, it depends upon the place we put it on. I'd like to see a model. I'd like to have it on a business agenda. So I simply propose we make very clear here today that we're discussing and not deciding. This is not a business meeting. And I think we have to be very careful. And then I'm going to go back and say, right on, I'd like this program. I'd like what you're doing. I want Prairie to be a welcoming community, and I want to make that public.
So in other words,
we...
No.
Questions that
You were playing the devil's advocate. Yeah, good job. So we could perhaps put in here that everything that we say here is, or most of the things we'll say here will be strictly taken on an advisory basis, and those things that should be brought up in the at the board, we'll do it that way before we officially institute any of these things. And I had another thought on that, but I've forgotten it. That's all right. The other thought was, if somebody has a strong objection to whatever we suggest here or the things that we have already done and hesitates to say anything about it in public because you're going to look like a bigot or something, I think we would all really welcome having somebody put in, send us a letter or drop a note in the somebody's mailbox down in the office, or just drop it in the collection plate. If you want to be anonymous, you could do that. We'd rather you not, but that is certainly anybody's right. So if somebody has objections to that sort of thing, or to any of these things, we welcome you to verbalize them in any way that you're comfortable. How's that? Okay.
I think, I'm putting this sort of thing in the map that we probably want to keep several designs in.
Is that?
Right, which is kind of a very hard to say.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, why this publicity is just that great news that people. And I wonder about the way
Alina.
And quick glance, and it is quick, and I probably didn't think. A lot of this, I think, has to do with the publicity and attracting people here. What happens afterward, I think, is something that we need to be thoughtful of the agenda and discussion.
You mean how we deal with folks once they're here?
Yeah.
Membership.
But what do we need to do in particular? Because I know we get gay couples here, I know we get a number of lesbian couples here, of individuals here who may be gay. And what do we need to do?
That's a longer discussion than we have time for here this morning, I must say. Yes, Bob?
Because it might cost too much to color, but a gray triangle and a red next to it, and that would set a message.
That's a pretty universal sign. Yes, Rosemary.
Well, I have a somewhat naive question. Does welcoming congregations not mean welcoming people of all creeds, races, and sexual beliefs? I mean, does it only refer to gender differences? Because if it does, shouldn't be in the mass. I mean, our Unitarian Universalist is a much broader umbrella, and to put anything in the mass would have to be general and broad.
So you're thinking that might look as special.
What does welcoming really mean? Does it mean only referring to gender differences, or does it mean also to all different creeds and races?
It means whatever it means to that person who's reading it, of course.
Yeah. So
ultimately,
yes, I would caution anything that's in the mass text should really encompass
everything.
Not just the LBC thing.
Yeah.
I guess what I would say is that because it's pretty well known that all churches that welcome heterosexual people, the reason that congregation, it does refer to welcoming people of all sexual orientations. The reason it's there is to just make it clear that it's not just for heterosexual people.
Yeah,
wait a minute,
there
are racial problems as well in this country. So you can't just take one kind of problem and forget about the other, which is really important.
Perhaps we could do it the way Erin reads when she first introduces. And she says we're welcoming to all racial and sexual orientation.
Yeah, that I really
that would be a consideration that we might think of. Nancy? Yes. That's true. They'll read it how they want. Yeah, that's a great point. I'm going to take one more comment, and we've got a couple more things we want to do, and I'm afraid we're not going to be able to finish any more of our suggestions for further action. It sounds like this could be a day-long meeting if we wanted to go through this whole list. Yes, Bob? Specifically. That's a great idea. I will say that some of the Prairie Flyers are going to be at the outreach, which used to be the, what did that used to be? Anyway, it's the United. It's the primary gay lesbian support group and organization in Madison. And Prairie Flyers are there. They have place for flyers for different things. And I'm not sure if the other Unitarian churches have flyers there or not. I have some flyers from them on the back table. Do you want to add anything to this,
no,
Mary?
I think we need to go.
I do too. We have, I contacted Outreach because we thought that one thing we'd like to do here as a small piece of this is have a transgendered person here and talk to us about some of the issues that we have with transgendered persons, if any, and maybe some of the issues that she would like to, that are very common with folks in her situation. So I'm going to make it really short, Laura. I hate to tell you. But she said that she would stay afterwards for a little bit if you have any questions that we're not going to have time probably for questions for her now. So this is Laura, and she's on the Speakers Bureau. And at the end, after the service is over, I'm hoping that you would pick up on the back table. We have she brought some evaluation of contact with Outreach Speakers Bureau. And if you would pick one up and either fill it out and drop it off there or mail it in, Outreach needs that kind of input for their federal and state funding.
Maybe you could bring it back here next week and I could come by and pick them up.
That'd be great too. Whatever works. This is Laura.
Thank you all for inviting me here today. I'll have to talk pretty quickly. Pardon me. I've got to come and I'm just getting over a bad cold, so hopefully my voice will last. Gender is one of those things that you notice about a person very quickly. I mean, even before you can recognize their face, you recognize whether they're a man or a woman. It wasn't so easy for me. Growing up, even at a very early age, I knew that I was not comfortable being a boy. And sort of went through several phases. I was, it kind of went through a magic phase where I wished on stars and fairy godmothers and genies and whatever else I could think of, and of course none of that worked. Kind of went into a religious phase. I was raised in a Catholic home, and I started praying about it. That didn't work either, and that kind of led me to get very angry at God, and it was a very difficult thing because being transgender was not so, I mean, it wasn't like having some sort of disability or something. For everyone to look at me, for all intents and purposes, I was perfectly normal, but I had this huge burden inside that I just couldn't share with anybody. I didn't even know the word transsexual until I was about 18 years old when I heard a news story on TV about a Dr. Richard Raskin, who became a tennis pro in the women's tennis circuit after having a sex change to become Renee Richards. So, and I remember, like, it was as if some hook had jerked. I was walking out of the living room and this news story was on the TV and it was like being jerked with a hook. I just stood there with my mouth open. My God, that's me. So, I mean, there are so many ways to look at gender. It's not just your genital sex. I mean, there's the genetic gender, the XX and XY, of course, but there are many other variations of that. There are people who have XXXY or XXXY or just one X. There are all sorts of variations on that. There's hormonal gender, whether you have more estrogen than testosterone and vice versa. There's how you've been reared. For various reasons, people have been reared cross-gender. There's how you self-identify, of course, and that's the one that was really the hard one for me. There's how you're perceived. Some people are perceived, other genders than what maybe they want to be perceived as. There's your legal gender, what's on your driver's license and your birth certificate. And, of course, then, like I said in the beginning, there's that physical gender thing. Who are trans people? That's one of the big problems. There are a lot of different types of trans people. There are the hermaphrodites or the intersex people is the preferred term now. Those are some of those people with those odd variations of chromosomes and other various say, insensitivity to hormones, that kind of stuff. These are medical conditions that cause gender to be somewhat ambiguous for these people. There are drag queens, and I guess some just marched in the closing ceremony at the Olympics. I kind of want to get a chance to see that. And of course, now there are drag kings. There's transvestites, cross-dressers, again, is the preferred term these days. Transvestites, kind of a medical term. There are, you know, stone butch women. There are sissy men. There are pre-ops. There are post-ops. There are transgenderists who you could call non-ops. They choose to live in a gender other than the one they were born into, but they never have surgery or they never take hormones. There are gender benders and gender breakers, and I guess trans people is such a broad term. It's just anyone who does not neatly fit into what society categorizes as gender's expectations, or I mean, you know, as to what society's gender expectations are. So, I mean, I usually talk for hours, and I love to hear myself. But I just want you to know that people who go through the kind of changes and, you know, transformations, geez, I've been through it. Maybe I should tell you a little bit about my own history. I started to tell you about my childhood, but I tried to fight this. I got married. I had two children. Got divorced. I'll give you three guesses as to why that divorce happened. But I did end up with custody of my children. I raised them from the time they were 3 and 4, totally on my own. And when they moved out of the house, I kind of had that, you know, empty nest thing, and it was a pretty difficult time in my life. And I decided at that point that I was going to transition. And I mean, I had these issues all my life, but this was now a time for me. And I made that transition. It's not an easy thing. We face a lot of problems. We have, I'll just run through some of these. Of course, discrimination. It's kind of funny, but the week after I transitioned, I lost my job. Happens to a lot of people who transition. Happens to, you know, you talked about coming out before. For a lot of trans people, the closet has a swinging door on it. You come out, you do your transition, you have to be out. You have to out yourself when you transition. People notice. And but once you pass, once you can go through life without being detected, shall we say, then you go back in the closet, and you just want the world to accept you for the gender that you have, that, you know, that you feel is appropriate for you. And so traditionally, most people, I mean, this is really what the career path for transsexual has been. I have to say that that's changing a little bit now, and I'm glad that that's changing, because I think we need to have role models. Yeah. So real quick here, I'm sorry, but I just want to mention really quick the employment, housing, and other discrimination. There's violence and hate crimes. Maybe you had a chance to see the movie Boys Don't Cry last. I mean, that kind of stuff goes on all the time. There have been 7 murders this year of trans people, and you haven't heard about one of them, I'll bet. Real quick, there's gender identity disorder is in the DSM-4. It's listed as a disorder. Homosexuality was taken out over 20 years ago, but I'm sick because of my gender thing. There's same-sex marriage issues. Just a week ago, there was a marriage, a little over a week ago, there was a wedding in Texas of 2 women. And this came about because one of the women is a transsexual woman, and the Texas appellate court decided that chromosomes are destiny, and so that you may change your genitals, but you can't change your chromosomes. So anyways, lots of other things, child custody, domestic abuse, military and veterans issues.
This just seems kind of cruel to both us and to our guest, Laura, to have her come here and then speak for such a short time. I do want to add one thing that I know is a mystery to a lot of straight folks who are not familiar with transgender issues, and that is, I've heard many people say, well, how do I call him, her? You use the pronoun that that person is representing him or herself as. And that is why I spoke of Laura as she. And there are many times when it's even more confusing and they look more like a he than a she. But if that person has on female clothes, very definitely looking or attempting to look as a female, you call it a her. You call her a she. Not yet, I'm sorry. I was speaking of the word. You use that word, she or her. And of course, vice versa with the female to male. A song, just like me. And I believe this has been written sometime back by our own
George
Calden.
I asked for some revisions.
And yes, there were a few revisions on it. So we're going to sing.
Give an opportunity for any visitors to introduce themselves. We don't require it, but we like to have the opportunity to get to know you and hear your name and perhaps how you got here today. Do we have anyone that would like to do that?
Oh, welcome.
Write up a little blurb that we could put in our newsletter, this woman in the purple, one of the purple t-shirts around here, and give it to her. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes.
Hi, my name is Joan Nell. As a conservative music major, I am
Any other visitors? Welcome. Okay. Now we have a time for short prairie announcements. Marilyn.
Today's current fire deadline, so if you have any articles, let me know. Also, I'm going on vacation October 18th to the 30th. If anybody wants to volunteer to take care of the mail on the week of the 15th of December.
Eileen.
The registration for our Bethel Horizons retreat should be in today, right, Marilyn?
That's right.
Yeah. So, are there extra copies out here for people to come out? It's very important. We want everyone who possibly can to come to the retreat. And also, I'm going to put in a plug to bring your instruments or your talents for the talent show. You will probably not be contacted individually for that. We just expect people to come and bring their talents and be willing to sign up for that. So, get the registration in.
Nancy.
We are a member of that ministry, and there are dialogue forum series for this.
Robin? That's a great idea. Any other announcements? Okay, and now we have a videotape?
Well, you know, we have a little collab here and there's not really time to have a videotape during the service because of the time, but we will play it after the service for anyone who wants to hear the president of the UUA, the Unitarian Universalist Association, who spoke at the Millennium March for Equality. Or person who was invited to speak at that rally.
So it was a bit of an honor for us as you folks. All right, so we'll ask you to sing one more song with us, Expanded 18.
I still want to thank you for
It's okay. It's okay. Well, I wasn't the only one, was I?
No,
signed
no,
up for
no,
that.
No.
Yeah.
I was.
Well, sure, whenever.
It happened, I think, on the 22nd of September, right about the time that.
Oh.
You know, I was hoping to do this.
How can one deal with that? I mean,
it's
the fury that's
much.
Yeah, oh,
my God.
It's the guy in jail.